I tell a story Dr. Hudson's told on me all over the country and other men have. I go in Atlanta Airport. The only thing I like about it, Atlanta Airport's the restroom. I go in the restroom, not the ladies, just the men. And I can see those stalls about 15, 20 down there. And I throw tracks on there. So I want to give something to Ray. Give something to Ray. It's out of order. Go ahead and take it. I was in there one day throwing tracks under there. And I said, here, let me give something to Ray. And the fellow said, thank you. Okay. Got out here passing out tracks. I saw Dr. Wright sitting over reading a book. I know we tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, you say? He said, Carl, are you the one giving me that track? I believe the track minister. You know, I'm just being normal. You don't carry tracks, you're abnormal. You're not normal. Paul went down to the marketplace. Paul went to King's Palace. You don't ever pass out tracks, you're not even normal. People laugh when you do these things, but really you're the one that's abnormal. I'm just being normal. Show me in the Bible somebody got saved, didn't get a little excited about it. He even told some to be hold it down. They said, we can't. Don't bow your head. I ain't even started preaching. I'm just making announcements. I don't have any people come up to me that I got a track on me. But listen, folks, we ought to carry. I wish I had the time to share the hundreds and hundreds of illustrations of people who've been saved just through a track. I mean, I get on the plane, I go down through and pass them out, and I put them in the seat, and my track that I wrote here, and it's got my name and address on the back, I get letters all the time saying I received Christ on the track on the plane. I was on a plane here not long ago, and I wrote Dr. Hudson a letter about it. I was sitting there reading The Sword of the Lord. And a young lady, 18 years of age, got there, and she noticed The Sword of the Lord. She said, sir, are you a minister? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I noticed it says Lord on that. And she was crying. And she said, I really need help. She said, I'm a single girl. And said, Mom and Daddy have been separated for years. I never got to be with my daddy. And I'm going now to be with my father. And said, I don't know anybody. And I'm dreading it. Would you mind praying for me? So no, I'll be glad to. Anybody could let her cry. Anybody could let her to cry. She was so happy. Flight attendant came by and I was reading the Bible. And she said, are you a minister? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I've heard about this being saved. Would you help me on that? Syracuse, New York. I was eating there with a preacher in the steakhouse. Started to leave. The man at the cash register, I said, pray for us. See, you self-righteous people wouldn't do that. Pray for us. Well, he said, I need prayer. Well, you want me to pray? Yeah, if you don't mind. I usually read some scriptures before I pray. What do you think I read? I took my soul-winning card out, and I went through that with him. When I did, I led him to Christ. And I started leading the lady. Sir! Sir! I own the restaurant. Oh, my goodness. I thought, boy, I'm in trouble. She said, I saw what you did for him. Would you do it for me? Be glad to. My father owns three other steakhouses in the city. If I call and get permission, would you go and show the cashiers there? Be glad to. I win more people accidentally than most people do on purpose. You're not right with God if you don't try to get somebody saved. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Wondering why your church's not growing. Get back with the book. We can get away from this lifestyle evangelism, this swindle all and MacAdoo and all that. You could do a job. So how you build a church? Bible way. I went to Midwestern Baptist College. I'm a dropout. Dr. Malone said if all his dropouts could be used like Brother Hatch has been used, I wish they'd all quit tomorrow. I just want to say after 36 years, 25 years in full-time evangelistic work, Dr. B.R. Lakin told me years ago, he said, Carl, you can make it 5 years, you're going to make it. Well, I believe I'm going to make it. And I really thank the Lord. This has been a great year. And when I give you these numbers, some of you say he's exaggerating. When you win a lot of people, you get accused of exaggeration, easy believism, plucking them green, everything else. Did they really mean it? Were they sincere? That's like going in a funeral home looking at a dead body and say, is he dead? Is he really dead? Are you dead? Are you really dead? Look at a newborn baby and say, you meant that, didn't you?
Come on. You meant it, didn't you? You sincere, ain't you, huh?
That's stupid. That's why you're not winning anybody. You're trying to be the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit do the work. You just do what you ought to do. Quit trying to be the Holy Spirit. So I told that preacher last night, I said, well, maybe I can work before I leave, but I don't plan on checking out right away. I want to bring a message today that's dear to my heart. I believe every preacher ought to have this message put in your pulpit. You preach it or let somebody preach it because it's so needed. I see churches that's cutting out their bus ministries and cutting on down on their soul winning. I go in churches and I preach on soul winning and I say, what night is your soul winning night? Oh, every night.
Oh, you're lying. Your people don't go every night.
I tell you what we do, Brother Hatch. We have a communion table down here. We put the cards on there And we let the people come by at a convenient time. You know when they'll go? They won't. We're humans. We have to be charged. Get it done in 91. Write it down. Get it done in 91. Get it done in 91. I'm not stuttering. I'm getting through to you. Get it done in 91. Get it done in 91. Let me hear you. Get it done in 91. I've asked the Lord to let me get in 100 churches this year. I work 2 churches a week. I get in more churches, as far as I know, than any preacher in America. I don't know of any preacher who works 2 churches a week. I do it every week. I'm challenging every church that's running under 100. I'm challenging them this year to baptize 100 people. You're running over, if you baptize over 100, I'm challenging you to double what you did last year. Alright, from this day till this time next year, I challenge you to baptize, if you're less than 100, to baptize 100 people. Brother Tony, I'm baptized. I'm going to ask you to accept the challenge. Will you accept it? Brother Howard Lehman. How many did you baptize last year? Baptize 100? Challenge you to baptize 100 people this time next year. How many of you preachers running less than 100? Let's see your hand. Alright, will you accept the challenge? Okay. You won't do anything unless you have some kind of goal. Preachers get up in the morning and don't even know what they're going to do. You have not because you what? Why, you hadn't baptized 100? You haven't even asked for it. Amen? Well, I want you to accept that challenge. Go home. I've been to church in Fort Worth and I preached there in December at a banquet. And I challenge that church to baptize 100 from December to December. They have already baptized 198 people since December. Come on, lift your head, man. Have some kind of vision. I'm not talking about a vision in the sky. Amen. You have nothing because you don't ask for anything. He that aimeth and doeth hit us nothing. Little boy aiming toward the moon. The boy, a fellow said, you going to hit that moon? He said, no. He said, why are you shooting at it? He said, I'm going to shoot at it anyway. Well, I hit it enough. To set a goal. Amen. Luke chapter 18. You'll turn there, reading in chapter 18, reading in verse 35. Let us pray, dear Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be in your house, but it's better to be there when you're home. Verse 35, and it came to pass, he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He cried, saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I want to get my message out of verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I want to give you the message today that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Our Lord is going through Jericho, and he's going through for the last time. He didn't make many trips through Jericho, and he's going through for the last time, headed to Calvary. But I want you to notice his last time, the crowd rushed to see him. They rushed to see the Son of God. And I want you to notice the people that he heard there. The people that he heard, number one, came to pass as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sit by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Here's a blind beggar, didn't have anything. He hears a crowd. I hear all the crowd. What's going on? I hear all the crowd. What's going on? Somebody tell me what's going on. Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a passing by. And I want you to know that he would have never heard had not been for others following Jesus. He'd never asked had not been for others following Jesus. He'd never got his sight had not been for others following Jesus. I wonder today how many people are saved because of you today. How many wives get saved because of husband? How many husbands get saved because of wife? How many children get saved because of parents? How many parents get saved because of children? Because of those little bus kids? How many mamas and daddies get saved because of those little bus kids that come in on that bus? You cut your buzzers out, God ought to burn your building down. Well, gas is too high. Oh, why don't you just be honest? You want those kids to go to hell. I heard a well-known evangelist, and I got it on tape. I heard him get up and preach. I won't call his name. He got up and preached and said that children could not be saved. So-called fundamental evangelist said kids could not be saved. I just sent a meeting in Indianapolis. Here, one of my preacher boys there got a church running about 900. Had him there in a meeting. Well, he brings in about 400 on buses. He got up, this stupid guy got up and said, all these big churches bringing in all these children, all they got is a children's church. Folks been there a week, asking leave Tuesday. I want to tell you something. If I come to your church, your church is not in better shape than it was when I arrived. You wasted your money, neighbor. Your church ought to be in better shape spiritually, physically, and financially when I leave it. You won't have to have me back. I won't go back. You check my records, all I ask you. Amen. That's all I ask you to do. I want you to notice that it wouldn't have heard. He wouldn't have cast. He wouldn't have cried out. Had not been for others calling Jesus. I heard a preacher tell a story when he was pastoring in Michigan and got a call to go make a hospital call. And he got up there and he went down to the room and he had a radio program, and this lady had heard him on the radio and asked him, said, he introduced himself and said, she asked him, do you believe in hell? He said, yes. Do you believe in heaven? Yes. Do you believe in the second coming? Yes. You believe in the blood? Yes. You believe in soul winning? Yes. You're the man. My husband's down here on the third, in the third room on the right, dying and going to hell. Won't respond to me or the children. Maybe he'll respond to you. Fell off a scaffold about 10 feet high into a tank of acid. And his body was 3 times the size it ought to be. And his face was a solid blister. Hair was off of his head. And he was laying there dying. And all he was doing was looking up. Ah, ah, I can't get say, ah, ah, can't get say, ah. Nurse on each side, the tears running down. And a nurse on each side was suction cup sucking the tears, because if they'd have felt his body, he would explode. The preacher walked up beside the bed and said, Jesus loves you. And the man kept repeating over, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he thought, I've approached him wrong. And then he said, Jesus loves me. And the man kept repeating, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And then he said, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. And the man kept repeating, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, and the suction cup's going, and said, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me. Body exploded, went back to tell his wife, and his wife came out of the waiting room, and he said, your husband just got saved. She run up and down the hall, my husband got saved, my husband got saved. Ago. He said, Carl, maybe you can use it. He's up in the Ozarks. I told him this morning when I met with him for a minute before he left, I'm going to tell that story, Doc. He told me this story. He was in an old tent revival. Down from that tent was a little boy and his daddy who lived alone, the two of them. Daddy was a drunk. He stayed drunk all the time. Told his little boy, don't you go down to that religious meeting. Not our kind of people. Do I'll beat you to death. Second night of the meeting, Daddy went off to get drunk as he did every night. The Attitude Rock to that little boy went down there, and he got saved and had prayer. On his way home, an aisle, a lane wider than this aisle, Daddy came home drunk in his drunken condition, staggered down that lane when he discovered his little boy wasn't home. And he met him, and when he did, he slapped him, and he fell to the ground, and he began to kick him in the side, and moved on up to his head, and left him lying in a puddle of blood. Went back home, laid down. Next morning when he awoke, he began to feel for his little boy that wasn't there. He's sober now. He's sober now. First thing he thought, he's down at that religious meeting. And he made his way down that lane, found his little boy lying in a puddle of blood, barely alive. And that little boy looked up and said, Daddy, Daddy, don't hit me anymore, Daddy. Don't hit me anymore, Daddy. Last night I got Jesus in my heart, and I want you to get Jesus in your heart. And he picked that little bloody body up and cuddled his face and said, Dad, it's not going to hit you anymore. I want to know the same Jesus you know. And Daddy got saved, and the little boy died in his arms. Come on, quit playing church.
Quit playing church. Texas is a church I've been in many, many times. Wonderful church. I went with the pastor to make a call out in the home. Got out there and went back in the back bedroom. And you could smell death in that room. A little 10-year-old girl lying there near death, waiting for the ambulance to come get her. Her daddy was a God hater, Bible hater. Didn't want anything to do with God. We went to have prayer. And she said, Pastor, would you pray that I die? Honey, I can't pray that. Pastor, please pray that I die. I can't pray that. We had prayer and got ready to leave. The ambulance pulled up, taken to the hospital. We went to the hospital and her daddy stand to put in the bed, standing there with a hatred on his face. We stood there beside the bed and the tears running down her little face. And she said, Pastor, would you pray that I die? She looked over to me because I'd been going there for years and still do. And she looked over to me and she said, Preacher Hatch, would you pray that I die? Would you pray that I die? I said, honey, I can't pray that kind of prayer. Why do you talk like that as a 10-year-old girl? And pointed down the foot of the bed and said, if I die, my daddy will come hear the gospel and my daddy will be saved. A few hours later, the Lord took her home. And on Saturday, we had the funeral. And he said, Brother Hatch, I believe if she could speak, she would ask you to preach the funeral. Would you do it? Would you do it? I said, yes, sir. And I opened my Bible. And every time I'd open some scriptures, I thought I'd read. All I could see is that little finger pointing down to her daddy. I finally just folded my Bible. And I looked down to Daddy and the mama and all the children. And I said, Daddy, get saved. And he left that pew and fell at the head of the coffin and said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I know I'm a sinner. And I want you to save me. I want to see my baby again. And Daddy got saved. And Mama got saved. And 35 others got saved. Quit playing church. How many mamas and daddies get saved because of children? First the people he heard, and second the peril he faced. The average person don't have many opportunities. Don't have many opportunities to be saved. This was the last time that Jesus was passing through Jericho. But the blind man didn't know that. He didn't know that. I want you to know this may be the last service you'll ever be in. There may be a lost person here. You heard some great preaching this conference. Well, I mean to be of all these heroes. I'm like the little boy. I'm like the little boy under that old mangy dog. Fellas, are you going to win that old dog in here? Yeah. You're not going to win anything. We got dogs here that's got all kinds of ribbons. You going to put that old mangy dog in here? Yes. You don't think you're going to win anything, do you? Well, he said, no, I'm not. Boy, look at all the company he's going to be with this way. I'm not way around these men. Look at the company I'm with this way. I'm just an old country boy saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's all. I don't know a whole lot. Still don't know much. I preach the same book that Paul preached. Thank you. Average person don't have many opportunities to be saved. The blind man did not know this was the last time that Jesus was going to pass through Jericho. Number one, the people he heard. Number two, the peril that he faced. And number three, the problem he encountered. Verse 38 and 39, the problem he encountered, the same problem you and I encounter, the same problem that he encountered. In verse 38 and 39, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Notice, if you would now, why don't you shut up, blind boy? Shut up! Blind beggar, you wouldn't have anything. They rebuked him. Hold your peace! I think the first time he just said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But I believe that second time, when they said, hey, blind boy, won't you hold your peace, man? And they rebuked him and said, hold your peace, but he cried so much some more. I believe, bless God, then, you don't like loud preaching, you better burn your Bible. I believe he cried out, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Problem he encountered was family, friends, and foes. Same problem you encounter. Same problem. Someone interferes. Blind man here, he had the same problem. Same problem he encountered. When I led all my people, I led all my people, Lord. I don't have an unsaved blood relation. I practice what I preach. I look back on the years ago. I had everybody trying to tell me I couldn't be a soul winner. I didn't know anything. I had to go to public school and Bible school for 4 years.
I couldn't read. My wife taught me to read. Called the book of John, James, book of Job, Job, book of Romans, Rome. But I heard something about soul winning. Nobody taught me how to win souls. Nobody taught me. I learned on my own. Soul winning is caught, more than it's taught. But I had to learn some of the things the hard way. Saved up $6. Caught a Greyhound bus and went from Flint, Michigan to Arkansas. Called my brother, my young brother that's next to me. And I said, Herschel, I'll meet you at the station. I've got 45-minute layover. And I took my New Testament. And I got there in the bus station. I said, we got 45 minutes. And I said, Herschel, I want to read here to you. I knew one verse in the Bible. My first Bible and my first New Testament's in a museum. It's in a museum. My whole Bible is as white as it could be except one spot. My whole New Testament, just as white as that right there, except one spot where a greasy finger went all the way through. But you're without excuse when it comes to soul winning. Amen. You're without excuse. That's the verse I'm going to read to you right here in this book of Rome. And I was just sobbing. He said, Carl, that's not Rome, son. That's Romans. That's where it's right here it is. I led him to Jesus. I saved up another $6 and got another brother. I saved up another $6 and got another brother. I saved up another $6 and got my sister. Another $6 and got my other sister. Then I started in the next town, cost me $8 to get my uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces and cousins. I don't have a non-saved blood relation. Hell, am I led to Christ? They cost me from $6 to $8 a head. I encountered the same problem. Friends interfered. Family interfered. Paul interfered. I encountered the same problem he encountered. I want you to notice, number four, the persistence he demonstrated. The persistence he demonstrated. The same thing I did. Everybody said, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I said, bless God, I can do it. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee in a meeting. A fella came up looking at my table. He more country than I am. Looking at my table. I said, sir, can I help you? He didn't call them new ones. He said, new ones. He said, I was just looking at all your sermons. Hey, so I'll say one thing. You got some good ones. You got some good ones. After walls you lie. I recorded that at Dr. Malone's and Emmanuel Baptist. After walls you lie. That's a good one. That's a good one. Have you got any new ones? Yeah, I got some new ones. He said, won't you just name the title of them? I like to hear the title. Are you a preacher? He said, I'm reverend. I said, where you pass? I pass up here in the mountains. Up here in the mountains. How your church doing? I ain't doing what's hard to do. We've been running a little over 500. So I can't read. I got all your sermons and they're memorized. I've been preaching. I got three preachers that's running over 500. Can't read a lick, and I supply them with sermons for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I have a recording place in my home, and I get in there and I record a message and send it to them. You without excuse. Don't let the devil fool you today. He encountered, but persistence he demonstrated. Verse 39, when they told him to shut up, he cried so much some more. I want you to notice the kind of call, the persistence he demonstrated, his cry in verse 39. And he said, but he cried so much the more. What kind of cry was it? It was a desperating cry. It was a desiring cry. It was a lonely cry. Oh, my son of David. It was a desperating cry. It was a desiring cry. It was a lonely cry. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. First his cry. Verse 40 and 41 his call. Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him. So first of all, he had the call. It was a commanding call. It was a commanding call. There's a difference in asking and commanding. If I said to you, sir, give me that book, he don't give it to me. I said, I command you. I command you to give me that book. You better give it to me. There's a difference in asking and commanding. Once you get this story, now from here on out, you may shout. You'll scare Jesus. Go ahead anyway. Notice before first, it was a commanding call in verse 40, and Jesus stood and commanded. He said, I want you to bring that blind beggar. I command you to bring him to me, and I want you to stand him right there. Stand him right there. I command you to bring him over here. You people cut your buses out. Now, don't let anybody out of this building. Some of you cut your buses out. When you hear this, you need to get out here and get right. This must have been a bus boy at one time. He's a poor boy. You don't get a lot of money off them bus routes. Huh? Excuse the hillbilly talking to the little snotty little kids coming in there. They don't give you a lot of money. I'll tell you one thing. They're precious. They're precious. I feel sorry for these people to cut them out. Amen? It was a comforting call, a commanding call, and then I want you to notice the cure. Not only the cry and the call, but in verse 41 through 43, the cure. Look what he said. He said, bring him over here. And he brought that blind beggar, and Jesus looked at him and said, hey, blind boy, tell me, what do you want? I'll give anything. Just tell me what you want. I can understand. I can understand if he's president of the bank. I can understand if he's a car dealer. I can understand if he had a lot of money. I can understand if he could just say, Mr. President, I'll give you anything you want. Just tell me, I'll give you anything. Because you've got a lot of money. You won't tithe to be big. Tell me, Mr. President. I can understand that. But here's an old blind beggar crawling out of a back alley eating out of garbage can. You get the story, stunk like a hog. He didn't have a nice suit on like we got today. All that fancy deodorant. Huh? I'm talking about a blind beggar. That's what I'm talking about. I want you to know today, Jesus loves white people, black people, poor people, rich people, educated people, not educated people. Hey, blind beggar, tell me what... You know, I can understand that saying, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? I'll drive a bus. I'll teach a Sunday school class. I'll do anything. Just tell me. I'll do anything for you. Just tell me, Lord. But listen, Jesus asking him, did you get the story? Jesus asking the blind beggar, I'll do anything, Jesus. Just tell me. Huh? If I don't put a shout in, you probably need a shout. Hey, blind boy, I'll do anything in verse 41. What will thou that I shall do unto thee? What do you want me to do for you? That's Jesus talking. I'll do anything for you. Just tell me. I'd like to help you. Usually we say, Lord, I'd like to help you. I'd drive a bus. But Jesus sent that old blind beggar. I wonder what the President of the United States would do. He's coming down the street, huh? And a blind beggar crawling out of the back alley speaking. Mr. President! Mr. President! Will you help me? Somebody check him out and see if he's registered, Democrat or Republican. I wonder what the governor of your state would do if a blind beggar crawling out of the back alley, huh? I wonder what your governor would do. Mr. Governor! Mr. Governor! Mr. Governor, will you help me? Will you help me? He'd probably say the same thing. What would your mayor say? I'm not talking about the President of the United States. I'm not talking about a governor. I'm not talking about a mayor. I'm talking about the Son of God, the one that hangs the stars and the moon and the sun, that's talking to a poor beggar. Tell me what you want. I'll give you anything. I can see him saying, come to Dr. Reynolds, you're working the sore. I'll give you anything you want. You run ahead the paper on me. I'll do anything for you. Dr. Cheney. Dr. Hudson. Brother Hatch, I'll do anything for you fellas. Y'all got nice clothes. He's talking about an old beggar. Can you get the message? I want you to know your money don't move God. It don't move. This preacher hadn't even moved God. When a precious soul comes to Jesus, it disturbs heaven. This old boy didn't only get his sight, he got saved. Read it all. I ain't done yet. He said I could have a few minutes over. Cry, the call, the cure. What do you want? If he'd come to me and say, Carl, what do you want? What do you want, Carl? If I had any lost people, I'd say, Lord, save my daddy. Lord, save my mama. Lord, save my children. But I don't have anybody lost. But if he'd come to me and say, Carl, what do you want? I'd say, Lord, give him more power. Lord, give him more wisdom. Lord, give him more passion. That's what I want. What do you want? Tell him what you want today. Amen. Sir, what's your name? Did Jesus come to you? You got any people lost? You want to go on to hell? You know where you ought to be when you give the invitation? Down there. You saved? You know anybody going to hell? You want to go on to hell? Where are you going to be when you give the invitation? Church! What do you want? Church! Tell me what you want! Church! I'll do anything! Church! Tell me! Just tell him what you want! You have not cause you what? Ask and what? Boy, that message he preached. Scared to death, he don't get on mine. Well, let me say to you here today, you got some people going to hell. I'll tell you why they're going to hell, because you hadn't been concerned about them. Every time there's an invitation, you cover this altar, that's fine. My dear wife, you'd have heard her pray when I got saved. I tried to kill my wife. Boy, I say, tried to kill a Baptist preacher. Sorry, rotten. Got my life story book just been finished. Be out in October, September, October. Yeah, man! My dear wife, and they're praying, oh, Lord, Lord, save my husband. I'll give you my life if you'll save me. That's what got me saved. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. Hey, tell me what you want. I'll give you anything. His persistence, the praise he displayed. I'm going to close in a minute. I'm like Dr. Malone. He started four times. I'm only on three. The praise he displayed. If you can't get happy over your salvation, get happy over mine. I mean, some of y'all are going to listen. If you ever did shout, you would scare Jesus to death. And you're going to be out of place if you get to heaven. I mean, I wish you didn't have to go, but you're going to have to go. If you've been saved, you're going to have to go. It's going to be tough on you. It's going to be tough. I wish you could cancel, but you can't. I mean, you're just going to have to go. Amen. Tell me what you want, the praise he displayed. You know, I thought old Caleb, you know, Caleb was 85. Joshua asked Caleb, what do you want? Well, you're 85. He didn't even retire. Somebody asked me, he said, hey, are you going to ever retire? I said, shut up! When I'm 6 foot under, I'm going to be semi. Still going to pass out tracks. Joshua 14, old Caleb, 85 years old. And he said, hey, Caleb, what do you want? Hey, Caleb, what do you want? He said, I want a good-looking convalescent home. Hey, Caleb, what do you want? He said, I want to get my welfare check and my Social Security, and I'm going to take it easy. No, old Caleb said at 85, he said, I want that mountain to pass. Some of you thinking about retiring, you're going to have your head blown off. Pray, he just prayed. Can't get happy over your salvation, get happy over that. Look in verse 43, and immediately, whoo, it take long to get through this. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath what? That saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. But he didn't get loud now. He said, thank you, Jesus. Had a good time. Trust the Lord. And immediately he received his sight. Followed him glorifying God. But wait a minute, look at the rest of that. And all the people, they got happy. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise. Bless God, if you're so dead, you can't shout over your shout over mine. Amen. Zacchaeus 19 received him what? Joy. Luke 17, the leper glorified him with what? A loud voice. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch went on his way what? Joy. Tell me what you want! I'm going to tell you today, when Jesus passes by, there's a difference. When he passes by, it will change you. It'll give you a new home. When he touches you, it'll transform you inside and outside. You'll look different. You'll act different. You'll dress different. You'll talk different. You'll be different when he passes by. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passes by. It'll change. I want to give you this story in closing. Many of you have heard it. This is my fourth close. Many of you have heard it. I've been in a lot of your churches. Church right here in Florida, I've been coming for years. Family asked me to go out with them to see their daughter. Said, other than the Lord, you're her hero. Other than the Lord, you're her hero. Every sermon you've ever recorded, she's got it. I had just recorded, Can You Sleep on a Stormy Night? Three categories of storms, self-made storms, Satan-made storms, and Savior-made storms. I had just recorded that message, Can You Sleep on a Stormy Night? I have the tape of the month, and she had received that message, Can You Sleep on a Stormy Night? I said, yeah, I'd be glad to go see her. They said, other than the Lord, you're her hero. Everything. I got the thing in my heart. If I'm her hero, how come she didn't come hear me? That's wrong to think that way anyway. When you hear somebody sing the first time or preach the first time, you should not say, I don't like them. Preachers have their off days. Singers have their off days. You should never come into a service trying to pass judgment on what kind of sermon he preached or they, whoever it was. You just leave that up to God. Amen. And in my heart, I said, I'm her hero. How come she didn't come hear me? Driving down that road, and they said, oh, she'll be so thrilled. She'll be so thrilled. I said, how old is your daughter? She's 19. Then I got to thinking, at 19 years old, I'm her hero, and didn't come hear me preach. And I had the most evil spirit, the most evil thought in my heart. And then finally, I said, let me ask you, how come your daughter didn't come hear me? Well, this, our daughter's paralyzed from here all the way down. I said, you're her hero. Other than the Lord, you're her hero. We have to have somebody sit and look at her right at her face 24 hours a day, or she would choke to death. We have to have somebody there 24 hours a day. They had a table twice the size of this pulpit that you could bring up and down and like this. And I began to apologize in my heart. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I feel, and I want you to forgive me. Take it away. We got out there and pulled in the driveway, walked in the house. They had her sitting up in the bed. She'd never seen me before. Had her sitting up in the bed, and I pulled the curtain back, and I said, how are you, honey? And she recognized my voice, and the tears began to stream down her face. I went over there and took a hold of her little bony hand, the size of the baby's hand. I began to pat her on the hand. Honey, I love you. And the tears streaming down her face. She moved her head. And that's what she said. That she wants to write you a note. But I thought you told me she's paralyzed. She is. So just put a pencil in her mouth. And I put a pencil in her mouth. And they pulled the table up. And a big old piece of paper. And she wrote down there, you're my hero. 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 I've been in a storm for 19 years. But one day I'll have a perfect body. I'll have a glorified body. Call Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference. When Jesus passed, I can't sing. Don't claim to know how to sing. Man,
Brother Bill, blesses my heart. But I told her, I said, honey, I want to sing your song. And I told her, I want to sing this song for you. I was the first one to hear this song. Years ago, and I was wrapped up in quartet music. Years ago, I traveled to Blackwoods and singing about being a PR man. This was in Cato Tabernacle. I preached to that same pole over 10,000 at Cato Tabernacle. It wasn't when he's living. The Blackwoods and Statesmen packed it out. And I was there preaching after they sang. Jim Hill was singing first tenor with a Statesman quartet. The next morning, about 4 o'clock, somebody knocking on my door. I went to the door, here stood Jim Hill, saved, backslidden, tears running down his face. He said, Carl, I just got right with the Lord, and I just wrote a song, and I want you to hear it. And he wrote it on tissue paper, and he had a whole string of tissue paper, and he came into my room, sat on the side of the bed, and the tears run down his face. And boy, we'd sing a while, and shout a while, and pray a while, and we sat there and sang, if you folks would come to the instrument, I want to do this song. Y'all will come to the instrument, please. And I said, we sat on the side of the bed. He said, I want to sing it for you. I want to sing it for you. And he sat on the side of my bed and sang, what a day, glorious day, that's going to be.